7:04 on November 9th. I call the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority meeting to order, back to order. We are on item 7B. We're missing our executive director. So maybe someone should find Ted.
So you're being recessing or are you ready to start?
Oh, how could that? You must need new office space.
Tried to kick us out of here and make this office space. There you go.
There's plenty of room to sit around here now. Yeah, we're good. We've got next year, so.
We're on the record.
I don't need to, unless you want to look at the picture. Item 7B, which is the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority and Alaska Energy Authority Office Space Feasibility Study. Mr. Leonard, you go to the desk.
Yes, Chair. And if I could, I'd like to bring Sarah up to the table since she will be involved in this discussion.
Sure, open right here, Sarah.
Chair and the board, we were asked several months ago, or probably more in a half a year, to look at how we could meet the problems that we're facing with space capacity as we move forward. And one of the directions from the board in looking at solutions was to find a solution that would allow ADA and AEA to continue to have its staff together. So we have gone through a study with an architect firm to see how we could provide a solution to this. And the memo goes through the solutions we looked at and comes up with a recommendation that we believe that we need to look at buying new space or buying some type of condomized floors in a building. So there's a few options in how to do that. But the goal was to keep ADA and AEA persons together. And we have our facilities manager, and Chris, if you would introduce, and our project manager, Carl Reisha, Chris Bretz, and our representative who did the study here to go over the study and discuss the solutions that they came up with for the board.
You want to do introductions, Carl?
Sure. Yes, we have four gentlemen here from RIM Architects. And they brought with them visuals, which are up on the board. If you have specific questions about any of the visuals that were in the study. Larry Howell is here. He's a business development manager with RIM Architects. And he has a presentation and will introduce his team.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to introduce with me this morning, we have Pierre Von Rolle. He's with appraiser and with Reliant Advisory Services, and he was a sub-consultant to RIM Architects. I'm a project manager with RIM Architects. And we have a senior associate architect, Bryce Clue, who worked on the study, and then our managing partner, the Alaska managing partner, James Doherty, from the RIM office here. So, and we thank you for this opportunity. The RIM Reliant team was hired by ADA and AEA to review and provide a feasibility study for options to co-locate the two entities and to accommodate and to accommodate growth needs for the next 20 years in a larger facility, either here in an existing building or off-site. We analyzed five particular options. One was the expansion of this facility here on Northern Lights. The next one was a purchase or the renovation of a Midtown office building. The other option was the construction of a new office building on ADA property owned across 27th Avenue on the parking lots over here to the north. And then the fourth option was the construction of possibly a new Class A office building in the Midtown area. And finally, we looked at keeping the existing Northern Lights building and leasing additional amount of space, say 10,000 square feet, in the Midtown area for 25 people, and I'm going to assume that that might be the AEA group. So those were the five options that we really went through and analyzed.
And I would just say that it would actually probably be the Ada core group that, under that option, would have moved.
Okay. In summary...
And just to be clear, just a quick question. Is all of our AEA and Ada staff currently located within this building right now?
No, sir.
If we have other staff, how many and where are they at?
Mr. Chairman, right now the Susitna Watana Project Office in the Sunshine Mall has four AEA staff and one temporary employee. So there's five persons down there, and the expectation is that there will be a couple more joining them.
And what about Ada?
All of Ada staff are located in this building.
Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Midtown area that was defined for us was basically Fireweed to the north, International Airport to the south, Minnesota to the west, and Lake Otis. So we confined all of our area of study within that geographic area. Office space buildings that were investigated were defined as Class A, which is basically glass, steel, and concrete type construction. So we stayed also at that level of building. Undeveloped land or lots investigated were all zoned to accommodate a Class A construction or the business office type occupancy, which is typically a B3 zoning. In the Midtown area, because of the parking requirements, our analysis indicated that we had to have at least a 2-acre parcel of ground. For each, we examined both capital and operating costs that we're experiencing in the Alaska market, the Anchorage market, and finally, we summarized all of our findings in a matrix and ran that data back to a net present value calculation over a 20-year life. That's the matrix that's included in your packet, and we were requested to use a 5% discount rate. So we tried to equalize everything across the board, different options. There were some significant findings. Adequate expansion of this particular Northern Lights building was greatly inhibited by two factors. One was the parking requirements. We're basically 23 stalls short here, and there is an old 1970s vintage parking agreement with the municipality of Anchorage that allows you to have that shortage of surface parking. And then the largest, most significant encumbrance was a 20-foot MLMP utility easement, which is right outside the window here. And this is a very aggressive easement. We thought that we were informed by MLMP that the relocation of that easement would be a very significant challenge and costly challenge, upwards of maybe $500,000. This easement has three-phase power in it, and it also has some national codes called the 10-foot distance codes that apply because of the strength of the easement. So we thought a relocation of this easement would actually go out into Northern Lights, which would shut down Northern Lights for a period of time, a significant challenge for any company to undertake. The existing building for sale, existing buildings for sale in that Midtown area were large enough to accommodate the ADA and AEA group. We estimated between 40 and 50,000 square feet. And within that Midtown area, as I've defined earlier, that was defined for us by ADA, we found two buildings, possibly the Calais Office Center and Tudor Park, were the only two buildings on the market. Both of those particular buildings have recently re-upped their tenancy. They've signed long-term agreements with the existing tenants. So for an owner occupant of those buildings, if one were to buy it, you're probably looking at a buyout of those leases in the long term. As far as the option for the construction on ADA-owned Midtown property, over here to the north, we've got lots 17B and 18 that would require the vacation of an existing utility easement. That's probably not a problem. The west lot here is actually an R4 zone. We would rezone that to a B3. And then construction of a building up there, because of the parking requirements, most likely would be a multi-level parking garage with office on top. A multi-level parking garage structure is quite expensive, but that is an option that would actually make that site usable. That would what would remain after that is the disposal of this particular site in this building. So that was our recommendation. Lot 1A, the disposal, because of the lack of surface parking here, and if you were to put this on the market, there would most likely be a cost of cure because of the inadequate parking, so there would be it would be a challenging building to market. But I'm not a broker, and I really shouldn't even speak to that, but perhaps Pierre can address that at a later point. As far as an inventory of midtown lots that were large enough, the 2-acre-sized parcels we're looking at to accommodate the parking requirements and the square footage of the building, we did find 8 lots within that midtown area that would be available on the market. The availability of Class A office space for the 25 employees that would be located away from the main body of ADA, that was approximately 10,000 square feet, and there's adequate market data out there that indicates that there's space in Midtown to accommodate 25 employees, not a problem. So in summary, we determined that the inventory of the existing buildings within the Midtown, the existing buildings large enough to accommodate ADA and ADA were limited to 2, Tudor Park and Calais Office Center. Both buildings, as I said earlier, have new lease agreements with existing tenants. And finally, the construction of an adequate office space across the property would involve the construction of a parking structure. The numbers that we've obtained from some of our cost estimators and the engineering groups estimate that $30,000 to $32,000 per parking stall. So, and those are estimate of numbers, but that seems to be what a parking garage costs these days. We've also determined that, quite frankly, we ran into that if ADA put out a formal RFP for a procurement plan that to go forward and actually purchase property or purchase a building, we felt that the marketplace would come forward with more and creative opportunities than what we were able to discover. We did run into some hesitancy in the market when it came to collection of data, because it was why is ADA doing this on their own or through RIM Architects and Reliant Advisory. So we ran into some resistance in the marketplace on our query into the marketplace. So we do believe that if you were to go forward with in a procurement process looking for a building or looking for sites, that more options would present themselves. So that concludes my presentation, Mr. Chairman. I do have people with a lot more expertise on hand to answer any questions. And
thank you.
That's it.
Chris, do you
have I just have a quick question. You mentioned the easement and the difficulty with the MLMP easement. It would not be grandfathered on resale of this property? Do we know that?
Yeah, my read of the parking agreement that is in place is there would actually when you bought this building, you probably should have renegotiated that parking agreement. So my sense is that if you were to do it proper, the municipality of Anchorage would suggest that you do have to
take that opportunity
to reassess that parking agreement. The easement is very strong, and MLMP was not interested in entertaining the idea of moving the easement at all.
We'll bring it up to the board for questions.
Are you going to need legislative approval as well? Do you have to go before the legislature to purchase the new building?
Mr. Ruffles?
I don't believe so. ADA has the ability to expend monies without going through the legislature and I would have to go into a lot more detail to go through the ins and outs of that, but this would not require an appropriation.
Well, because I know Alaska Housing, when they were looking at purchasing their building out on Tudor, ended up needing legislation to authorize them to spend their own money to pay for that building.
The statutory authority that Alaska Housing Authority has is very different than what ADA has with respect to this type of a transaction.
Okay, good.
Mr. Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Simply on this chart, what is the second line? What does LT mean? Addition addition to LT-1A, what is
lot?
Lot. Lot 1A.
Yeah.
So lot 1A is what?
This is lot 1A.
Okay, thank you. And so what you're asking for us from us today is some guidance for a December 16th presentation, or December 14th presentation on what we sort of think is the best out of here of these proposals. Is that where we are today?
So to Chair, to Board Member Wilkins, yes. We're asking direction if you believe that we should come forward with a resolution and a procurement process to move forward with initiating the process to procure new space for ADA through purchasing an existing facility or floors of an existing facility. Based on the study and recommendation from our firms that we work with.
May I continue this? So is task one, the first two columns, are both of those structurally or mechanically, operationally sufficient for you?
I would put that back to Carl.
I guess I dropped to the bottom line. 3A is $25 million, so that's a struggle. So you, column one and two are essentially the same amount of money, and column three, which is task two, is about the same. So it seems to me if I just go at it from a dollar standpoint, one, two, or three, columns one and two are the least expensive, followed by three, which is rounding error. So back to the question, does column task one in either of those iterations work for ADA and AEA?
I think it's a challenge to fit the projected staff expansion into a building addition attached to this building. And we were working under a employee headcount of about 100, and since then we've heard that we may have to revisit that employee forecast with the executive directors that may have grown. So, you know, basically we don't think there'll, if you built the maximum building you could on this lot to expand it, we would still be short of space.
Okay.
Excuse me, Chair. Also, Mr. Wilkins, the second page, you're looking at the first page. If you go down to the second page, I think it's you turn over the this page right here.
Okay.
Is that we do have, and Carl can go through this, the net present value of the cash flow.
Oh,
so there's another page.
Oh, thank you very much.
Which shows that probably task two, which is to purchase and modify a building based on our assumptions, has the greatest net present value for the authorities.
And that works. That works. This structure works.
Right.
For operations.
We believe so. I mean, I guess you would say, as the Larry has suggested, that until we actually go out for a full procurement process, we're not going to know the availability of the buildings to purchase. And that is what we're really asking, based on the information we have, that it's worth taking that next step to go out for a procurement process to see if there are available buildings for ADA to purchase or to Chris and Carl condominiumize sections of the building too is an option.
Can you explain to me how we would finance the acquisition of a new property? Would we use existing capital? Would we ask for bonding authority to go out and bond for this purchase? What's the strategy on the financing?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
No, go ahead.
Mr. Leonard, we have not completely explored that, but it's very possible that it would be eligible for the purchase and renovation would be eligible for tax-exempt financing. Because it's not a development project, we would not need bonding authorization. ADA can issue general obligation bonds for its purposes. We would have to explore this further, but where our requirement for bonding authorization is when we intend to own a development project, and the bonding is required in excess of $10 million. So, or
we can use
existing funds. Yes.
And existing interest rates today of what we could expect on issuance of that size, what do we think?
Today?
Today.
Less than 5% term in the, yeah, this would be Ada's general credit, AA2, we're seeing 20-year all-in costs, and then below 4.5% right now.
Which would allow us to keep our cash reserves for project development.
Commissioner Bell, Mr. Arvin, Mr. Sheldon, I just want to make sure you have an opportunity to chime in here.
Thanks for checking. No questions here.
Mr. Chair, this is Robert Sheldon, but no questions here.
So can we issue certificates of participation?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Arvin. Sorry, Mr. Wilkin.
Yeah, I wonder, maybe there's a cast missing on here in with respect to Wantana and the large AEA initiative that's happening in the Matsu Borough. Was there any consideration given to looking at space in the valley?
And through the chair, Mr. Arvin, with respect to where we're at with the project, through a licensing and design process, at some point, and Mr. Dyack isn't in the room, a valley office may be appropriate when we're in a construction mode, but at this point, it's very important for the Wantana team to be as closely located with the other AEA staff and other contractors and entities that we do business with, and it would be important to remain in the Anchorage community.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback, but I also wonder, too, has there been an analysis on how many folks that work for Ada AEA that live in the valley?
No, we haven't done that.
No, we haven't done that analysis.
I wonder if that might be an interesting data point, Mr. Chairman.
We could get that for the board before the December meeting.
Okay. Mr. Wilkins?
I'm a little out of my league here. Are we able to issue certificates of participation this organization?
I'm not sure the answer to that, but the certificates of participation, as they've been used by the state in the past, have been as an alternative to bond financing where bond financing was not available. Here, it may not make sense because Ada could issue bonds for this particular project, so would not need to go there. But I don't know the answer to that, and we can take a look at that if you would like.
I know just enough to be dangerous, so let me just... So if we were able to do that, within the new legislation with the Municipal Bond Bank, be able to buy those and get what amounts to 0.5% or less than 1% interest rate? Isn't that the effect of the new legislation?
I don't think the certificate of participation is a step down from Ada's general credit.
Okay.
As it goes through. You could, if AMBA were able to wrap it, they would be selling bonds out the other side, and so you'd have some sort of complicated arrangement of those things passing through. It's our belief that you probably end up net about the same and have paid twice as many fees along the way because of all the parties that have to sort of touch the transaction to them. Ada's strong rating and capacity makes just a direct general obligation bond hard to beat. There may be some structures that allow that would be equivalent to that. We certainly want to explore those as we get closer into this thing.
All right. Thank you.
To the chair, I think where Board Member Wilkins' question is also going is that as we go through over the next month, we could look at different alternative financing. I mean, that's what Ada's all about, is trying to find the least cost of capital so that we could look at some type of private public partnership that would meet our procurement. I'm not sure what that would be, but we could definitely look at different financing alternatives.
So Ted and Sarah, if we drop page 2 to the bottom line and we look at option 2 versus option 3B, if we wanted to spend the extra $6.5 million, I think that's what that says, isn't it? That it costs us $6.5 million to do option 3 over option 2? Is that what that says?
Option 3A or 3B?
Either one, 3A or 3B. But I'm looking at 3B.
Looks like 3A is $18
million. Yeah, so 3B. Is that what that says? That negative number tells us it's going to cost $6.5 million more to do 3B than option 2?
Yeah, about.
Is that
approximately, yeah, around $7 million net present value difference.
So then, Ted and Sarah, if we wanted to do 3B, what does that buy us that option 2 doesn't buy us? Operationally, structurally.
I guess in my opinion, it buys you the flexibility to build to suit your needs from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be a nice thing to do, and I think you could structure it the way you would want your building to be structured.
Okay. Any other benefit of spending another extra $6.5 million?
From my mind, it's pretty much what Sarah's stating, is that we can, Chris.
Yeah, this is Chris. Having been involved in situations where I've moved offices into existing buildings versus going into a new building, and this building is a perfect example of what it's like to go into an existing building, you gain a lot more efficiency in the use of space if you start with your own building to begin with, and I suspect these guys could probably address it better than me, versus the things that you often have to deal with if you're moving into a building that's already constructed. So you guys want to address that in terms of any efficiencies that or cost relating to building into, you know, moving into a new building versus renovating an existing building?
There's the efficiencies, the operational efficiencies. And if you look at the payroll of your staff and the productivity of your staff over time, that's a significant number. There's also innovations, energy efficiency, operational costs that newer facilities are geared more towards more efficiencies there. I don't know that we've looked at the actual cost over a 20-year period to operate the building, but those are significant dollars that you can manage through new construction.
It's just a comment that I have is, it seems like we've got an overcapacity of office space built up over the last 5 years in Anchorage, especially the Midtown market. We've got a building that we can all see right there that is, I believe, 100% vacant. There's a building across the street at maybe not 100%, but virtually. Building over in Center Point that has 2 out of 8 floors occupied. And there's a new spec building going up over by GCI, as well as other office space that is vacant right now. And I'm wondering if it's based on that information and all the experts we have in the room, what is the most prudent move? Are we seeing a soft prices in the acquisition of office space right now, or are we seeing pricing hold and people are just sort of holding their breath to see what happens next in the Alaska economy?
Mr. Chair, I think that'd be a good question directed toward Mayor Fraser, and who's really was our data collecting agent out there on the street.
Maybe some of the assumptions he used in some of these projections would be helpful for me.
And
if you come sit closer to the table so the board members can hear you.
So, with respect to new construction availability, there has been a soft market, and there's been quite a bit of availability of new construction. That's recently trended downward. There was just a 70,000 square foot lease over at Centerpoint West that represents.
Who's speaking now?
This is Per Bjorn Rowley with Reliant.
Thank you.
I'm a commercial real estate appraiser. So that's showing that there's a little bit of a shift in the market, and so we're starting to see some of the space be absorbed. 188 West Northern Light still has quite a bit of space available. If ADA chose to pursue leasing as an option, there is certainly space available to do so, if they chose to do that. In terms of the existing market, it's very tight. Vacancies are in Midtown are probably around 3.5%, 3% right now. So there's very limited space available. And it's important to point out for this task too that one of the major challenges we've seen users face in this market is that they see the difference in cost. They understand that buying an existing building is certainly a more affordable way to go, and they pursue that. And 2 years later, after searching the market and not being able to identify a property to go into, they actually start over and end up back at task 3B, which is pursuing new construction, because it is very difficult. There's very limited properties available for sale right now. Those that are available for sale are typically 100% occupied or near full occupancy, so you're dealing with ADA acting as essentially an investor in going in and partially occupying a building, but then also having a lot of other tenants. So that's the challenge with that existing option.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sheldon. Go ahead. Is that Mr. Arvin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So what happens when we go to slide number 4 on the evaluation matrix? Because the numbers are wildly different, and task number 4, just looking at the bottom number, I mean, can we get walked through that, please?
Larry?
Yeah, I'm happy to handle that question. I'm basically, the difference between task 1, 2, and 3, and task 4 has to do with the timing of the cash flows. In tasks 1 through 3, ADA will have a very large initial capital outflow. It varies by the degree, followed by lower operating costs during the holding period, and then a reversion at the end of the holding period, which basically, for modeling purposes, represents sale of the asset. In task 4, which is a lease scenario, ADA has no costs up front, or at least less cost, and then higher operating costs in the form of a lease payment annually, and then no reversion. Does that answer the question?
And, Kurt, if I could just add to that, Chair, is one of the issues that we could have, and Brian, I probably need you to jump in, is that if it's an operating lease, we have to go back to the legislature, because we don't, I doubt Sarah has the money, but we do not have the money in our facilities lease to absorb that cost. So we would have to go back to the legislature for permission or authority to spend lease monies, our own operating receipts, in essence.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I believe that it would become part of the operating budget and therefore would be require appropriations to cover those costs as opposed to a capital investment in a building, which would not require an appropriation.
Thank you. Further questions from the board? And with that, just to be clear, Mr. Leonard, Mr. Fisher-Gold, you're asking us for the authority to move forward with a December 14th resolution that would help you move forward with option 3B,
unless the board would have a recommendation to go with a different option.
I believe it's task two, is it not? Or
no, it's task. Oops, now I have to go back. Isn't it task two?
Task two. Task two.
That if the board would like us to do more research or go with, for example, task 3B, that would be the other option, it sounds like.
Well, I just heard some information that people start at task two and then they can't find anything, then they have at 3B. So I guess we're going to take that approach and go to task two, see if we can find something, and if we can't, then we're going to come back here for 3B.
That would.
Well, to the chair, I would suggest that you could possibly run those simultaneously through a competitive process so that you just go out, and when you're going out and you're working with the broker, and we'd need to get a broker to figure this out, but you go to the market and says, we're looking for either some existing space or new space. You come in and tell me so that you're able to compare and evaluate those options simultaneously, but you don't limit yourself to one or the other. And if you do that, then hopefully at the end of the process, you've got a building that's going to work for you, whether it winds up being a new building, and you can compare the cost of that to what's available in the marketplace. And that's what I would propose, and that's some of what we would build into our resolution in December.
So to be clear, then you're looking at task two and task three.
Yeah, just okay. To see what those options would be for us.
Okay. All right. I don't know if we need a motion from the board, or just is there anyone who's completely against that? Mr. Wilkin.
No, I'm not. I just wanted to ask a question. Under total operating expenses on option two, test two, that's a $490,000 a year, as compared to 3B, which is $302,000. So someone made a comment, this has to do with cash flow values. So does that say for 20 years it costs $490,000 a year to take option two, whereas 3B it costs $302,000 a year for 20 years? Is that correct?
It's a smaller space on 3B. Task 2 has 70,000 square feet. Task 3B is 43,000. So I think I'm assuming that the numbers work, that it is more for operating under Task 2.
Okay. And so then Task...
Yes.
Okay, so that's a function of square feet?
And answer your question, the answer is yes. The operating costs that are shown, the $50,000, then would carry forward through the remainder of the holding period.
Okay. Then option two, though, relies on $540,000 a year in rental from renting out something that external rent, or we're getting it from somebody else.
This model was based on the assumption that you would not be able to find an entirely vacant building. So it does reflect that you're going to have some rent offsets. That's probably the most realistic scenario, although there is the possibility that you may be able to find a vacant building.
Okay.
Very good, then. I guess the answer to your question is move forward and please prepare the resolution for our consideration. Thank you for your presentation.
What have we decided to do to look at?
A resolution that allows Ted and Sarah to move forward with option task 2 and 3B on a concurrent track. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I misspoke on one thing. Mountain View, we have a warehouse that's not impacted. We have five staff people that are at our AEA warehouse that wouldn't be considered consolidated under here just because of the nature of the space.
That moves us to item C, resolution number G11-20, adoption of regulations and amendments to regulations regarding the Authority's Development Finance Program 3 AAC 99.540. Mr. Winter?
To the chair, we have resolution 1120 before the board, and in reality, going back, we passed a resolution in August related to allowing the authority to spend up to $1.5 million on pre-feasibility costs regarding project developments. And as we went back through to ensure that our regulations matched our resolution, we discovered that we really needed to modify 3.888.99.540 to be able to allow us to move forward with resolution G1118. And just very quickly, what we needed to do, if you look at Exhibit A, was to add a word for and then strike out the words or otherwise investing funds in a development project. And then that regulation would coincide and work with the new resolution that was passed by the board in August. We went through the regulation process. We had no comments from the public, and therefore we're before you with the resolution to modify that regulation.
And just for Deputy Commissioner Rodell's understanding, we passed a resolution at a board meeting in August in Kotzebue that allowed ADA to move forward with $1.5 million for pre-feasibility studies into intermodal transportation, ports, maintenance facilities.
And that's per project?
Roads. That's no, total.
Total.
Total. Okay. And so in order to start expending those dollars, this is a cleanup to be able to make that possible.
And it also goes with the difference between ADA's powers under their operating budget versus capital budget.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve G11-20 as presented.
Motion is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon?
Aye.
Mr. Arvin?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Rodell?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
And Mr. Short?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have an executive session scheduled. Mr. Bjorkqvist, if you could help guide us to a proper executive session.
And I haven't had a chance to talk with Mr. Leonard, so I'm assuming that this is dealing with the status of negotiations with the Northwest Arctic Borough on the MTS. Is that correct?
Yes.
The board should entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss the negotiations, the status of negotiations, and give directions of staff dealing with the DMTS. This is appropriate for executive session because the immediate knowledge of the strategies for negotiations would have an immediate negative impact on ADA's finances. You should entertain a motion and go into executive session.
Thank you. A motion using Mr. Burke's language would be in order.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Wilkins. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a second by Deputy Commissioner Rodell. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Hearing none. Those on the phone, please disconnect and call into the alternative number. We're going to take a 5 minute. Do we need to make any comments on?
Everything that was discussed in the executive session was appropriate for the motion going into executive session, in my opinion.
Thank you very much, sir. Brings us to director comments, item 8. Mr. Leonard, anything you'd like to discuss at this time?
To the chair, just very quickly, I sent everyone a status report on the activities that ADA is working on. So if there's any questions regarding that, I'd be glad to answer. And just a quick status report on what I sent you last night. We believe that the transaction for the jackup rig will close tomorrow in concurrence with the rig being delivered to the shipyard for retrofit tomorrow also. And again, our reports on loan activity and cash are in the board packet, and staff is ready to answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions from the board on jackup rigs or otherwise?
Mr. Wilkin?
Three. Page two, Ted, on your report.
On the jacket?
No, on board update.
Oh, sure.
Is that what you're speaking of?
Yes.
So, geez, I'm sounding like a one-note Johnny here. So Seward, this is pretty exciting about the fishing fleet coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's pretty cool stuff. So if we can help, that'd be great. But back to certificates of participation. Wouldn't Seward be able to get a better rate through a COP and then Muni Bond Bank?
I have no idea.
I've run that flag up twice now, so I'll be quiet.
Well, in actuality, what we believe, Board Member Wilkins, is that, and we don't know yet, mm-hmm. but Seward, in and of itself, with the debt that they have outstanding, would have a hard time bonding for the full amount through, say, a revenue bond or a COP, whereas if ADA's participating, that we would bond for our share with our agreements with the CDQ. And so sort of a model that we've been promoting is where the city has skin in the game, or the municipality, ADA's involved in the project, and we can bring in the private sector as a partner in it, too.
Okay. So I'm sure they're going to look at all that.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Second, right under that, Jim, I thought the natural gas thing to Fairbanks was dead. Are you spending any time on that?
Just a fraction amount of time, and it's dead in a different way. I mean, there was an old dead, and now there's the new. They're still looking at possibilities. So the time I'm spending there, inviting me to be on their advisory committee as they kind of work out plans.
And
that still either could be potentially LNG shipment, or it could be propane, or some combination of both, is what I understand from my discussions last week.
And for that, Board Member Wilkins, it's actually the capital monies was issued to Fairbanks North Star Borough to do a study on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they're just asking for our participation, being on a board, to give input to that study that they're funding through that capital appropriation.
So this is the build-out part, not the actual gas part to Fairbanks? And we can see the Flint Hills are marching ahead on.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you're not spending a lot of time on that?
No.
It's more as an expert.
Next page. In the first paragraph. So it says, the goal is to have preliminary information ready for the next legislative session. Is that information from us, from ADA? And would that then choose a route, either east or west? Or do you need to have that information? Is that part of that paragraph?
They will be, we are in the process of working with the partners, DOT, Nova Gold, in looking at which route. I think preliminary information is to discuss a route that would be the favorable route to that, and what type of private-public partnership that could be looked at. It's in the very, very early stages, as the same as you did with Red Dog in the early 1988s.
So that preliminary information would or wouldn't involve a route choice?
It could involve route choice, and where we're supporting is that DOT will actually be the lead in the legislation. We're just supporting them on potentially how you could set up a model to finance which route that DOT and the partner is moving forward with.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions for Mr. Leonard? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to board comments. I'll start on the phone. Mr. Sheldon, any comments?
No comments today, thank you.
Mr. Arvin, any comments?
No, Mr. Sherman, thank you.
Commissioner Bell, any comments?
No, thank you.
Mr. Wilkins, any comments?
None, thank you.
Deputy Commissioner, any comments?
No, thank you.
I'll just say good job on the audit. I know it's a difficult process to go through, and to have an unqualified thumbs up is great work. And, good job, Ted, Valerie.
Yeah. Valerie's team is a great team.
It is.
It's always good when you can get through an audit presentation with only one question. So congratulations. With that, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll move.
Second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 suppose we were
good.
Thank you.